On today's Of Record, do boomers or Gen Zers watch longer videos online? Dynamic product placement on this week's Of Record.
Of Record is a podcast focused on the marketing and advertising industry from the perspective of industry expert Joe Clements. Joe Clements is a co-founder of Strategic Digital Services, a digital marketing firm based in Tallahassee, Florida, and founded in 2014.
I'm Joe Clements, and this is the podcast Of Record. All right. Hey, everybody. How are you doing? I have Kirsten in here. Say hi, Kirsten.
What's up?
I've got Helen in here.
Hello.
And I have Alex in here.
Ayo.
And of course, I am Joe. We're going to pop a cold one here. You'll probably not hear this until Monday, but it is very much Friday afternoon here in Tallahassee, Florida, the global headquarters of the Of Record podcast. So let's get started here. I saw some research out of eMarketer a couple weeks ago, and it was the length of video views watched by social media users worldwide by generation. So my question to you guys is, if you had to bet, who tends to watch longer videos and who watches shorter videos? Long is 4 to 20 minutes. Short is anything under 4 minutes. What generation do you think watches the long form content? Gen Z, millennial, Gen X, or boomers?
Boomers.
I think it's millennials.
Producer Alex?
I might be an old man, but I watch old videos. I think I'm in the minority.
Long here. Videos?
Or long videos.
Yeah, old videos. I watch old videos.
That black and white stuff, you know?
All right, I think this is one of those things that is counterintuitive, but when I point out what's going on, it makes total sense. It is actually Gen Z and millennials both watch about the same amount of long form content. I'm sorry, long form, by the way, was over 20 minutes and medium length content was 4 to 20.
Oh.
So percent of respondents of Gen Zs who said they watch short form, 96%, 94% medium, 93% long form content. Millennials, 94%. Short form, 93% medium, 89% very long form. You get down to Gen X and 86% of them are watching short, only 73% long. And then you get to boomers, 75% long, only 75% short and only 54% long form content. So essentially, boomers watch half as much long form content as do Gen Z and millennials. I think what is going on here is the older you are, the more TV you're watching. And so your online, your internet video consumption tends to be oriented around only very short stuff. Oh, I was in the Facebook feed, I watched this. If you are younger, you're acclimated. You'll watch an hour-long documentary on YouTube. You'll watch a 20-minute-long piece on Instagram. Or at least you'll go more than 4 minutes. So you're used to watching longer things on your phone. Anecdotally, if you watch younger kids, so below Gen Z, those kids can stare at a phone for hours and watch video, not even gaming. So that's what I think is going on there. Do you guys have a counterfactual on that?
That makes sense to me. I mean, you can barely get like boomers through a commercial that's 30 seconds long, like before they're already
short attention span.
It's not like I don't want to say it's like a lack of patience, but they're just a to a point kind of generation. Like they don't want to listen to the fluff and stuff. Like they just want to know what they need to know, and move on. And I think that like also for like as a millennial, like we talk about TV. I watch YouTube on my TV. It's kind of almost like replacing my cable. And a lot of times I'll just put something on and I'll let it go through its autoplay and it'll just keep going and going and going. Cause it's like TV essentially to me. So, and I kind of like the longer form ones personally, just because like, I mean, like my favorite kinds of videos are between 20 and 30 minutes long because like it's enough for me to get into it and process it and not like try to be thinking about the next thing to watch.
I think you actually brought up another good point, which is media expectations. Mm-hmm. So the older you are, the more your expectation of media is that it's fast, mm-hmm. right? A news story is 3 minutes. A TV show is 25 or 26 minutes. A movie is 2 hours. So the internet has kind of broken those content standards for things. And so when you look at cable news viewership, like no one under 40 really watches cable news. It's everybody over 70 watching cable news.
Yeah.
Where it's like very quick hitting, move on to the next thing, move on to the next thing.
Yeah.
But I actually think millennials and Gen Z consume a lot of news content. They're just doing it in hour and a half long, 2 hour long podcast, or they're doing it in, you know, 2.5 hour long YouTube interview segments. And I think like you could never, because I've mentioned this to, you know, like mentors, parents, like, oh, you should listen to this podcast. And then they'll see it's like 2 hours long. Like, oh God, I could never listen to anything for 2 hours. Mm-hmm. It's just not something in the realm of consideration for them.
Yeah. I mean, even my mom, like she's very adamant that like when a movie gets past an hour and a half long, she is like checked out. Like she can't hang. And I kind of feel like that too. But my limit's the 3 hour one.
Yeah.
Like if a movie's more than 3 hours, like love the Batman. It was fantastic. But that it was starting to get to me where I was like, okay, I got other things I got to be doing.
So you would usually get the rap that like young people have short attention spans.
Right.
I think what's happened in practice is everybody, even up to boomers, have been conditioned for short attention spans by media. The difference is the younger you are, you will actually pay a lot of attention to something if it's extraordinarily high interest. And the internet allows you to consume only extraordinarily high interest content. Very nuanced, very targeted content. And so you can watch a whole lot of it because it's feeding your very specific interest and style. So you'll watch hours of it.
Yeah.
Whereas boomers don't have an expectation that content's going to feed their interest and style, just that it's going to move fast.
Do you think this is going to change with Gen Z and whatever that Generation Alpha is? They're calling it after Gen Z now? I can't remember.
They're called children.
Is this going to change?
And they don't have formula.
For them who are consuming mostly things like TikToks, everything's under, 3 minutes essentially on TikTok. Do you think that we'll see a shift?
I don't know. That's a good question. I doubt it because I think the power of content that is highly targeted to your interest and taste is hours of entertainment, no matter who you are and what you're conditioned to.
Mm-hmm.
My guess is, and you see this with TikTok, they already have extended the amount of time a post can go, right?
Yeah.
A TikTok can go for. They've already extended it. It would not surprise me if in another 6 months, they extend it more and more and more. And then eventually you get to the point where TikToks are structured. You have like this 30-second sting TikTok at the beginning, trying to catch your attention. And then if you make it through that filter, well, then you can just be on the TikTok for an indefinite period of time on the same piece of content.
Helen and Alex, I got a question. Would you watch an 8-minute long Instagram reel?
No.
Mm-mm.
See, that's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, that's form factor limited, though.
Mm-hmm.
Vertical, I mean, ask Quibi. Vertical is not good for consuming content on.
Oh, yeah. Well, oh, my God, I forgot about Quibi.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a blast.
I guarantee you
past.
Quibi investors did not forget about Quibi.
No. God, they sank so much into that.
Yeah, a couple billion.
Oh. Man, that was...
Rip Quibi.
Yeah.
And they bet on vertical, but the thing... Vertical... only exist not because it's pleasurable to watch content on, but because it happens to be the shape of a phone. And the phone is the shape it is, not because it's great for consuming content, but because it's the most useful thing for holding in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
So they literally designed content based around how the human hand happens to be shaped.
Right.
Which is a bad idea. You should design content around, I don't know, what a human eye likes to see, and what our eyes see tends to be more vertical than horizontal. We like wide. We don't necessarily care about tall.
Yeah.
We like to feel immersed. Wide actually makes us feel immersed.
Yeah.
Any more thoughts on long or short form video before we move on? Helen is just stunned over here. Absolutely stunned. She's big tired. You big tired, Helen?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wake up.
It's been a long couple weeks.
Been a long fucking day, Allison.
We've been in the trenches.
Cut that out.
Play the stinger. play the music. Let's get her off of here. We're going to get an FCC fine. let's talk about product placement. Something that happened recently was NBC Universal announced at the New Fronts, which is their, which is how they sell their digital content in advance. So they introduced the advertising innovation for their streaming services, and it is going to be available on Prime Video also and Freevee. I don't even know what that is, but what it allows you to do is dynamically insert products into a video. And so what this means, imagine somebody's drinking out of a can. Well, that can will just be filmed as a green can that they're holding. And then an advertiser can pay to have their can put in that actor's hand.
Thank God.
And right now,
it's about time.
Yeah. It's about time. So you can literally imagine the future where there's like a bidding war between like Coke and Pepsi, but not Red Bull because the can's the wrong shape. Between like Coke and Pepsi and anybody else with a standard can, like trying to bid for your eyeballs real time when you're watching, I don't know, pick a show, Yellowstone.
Mm-hmm.
It or really beer companies, Anheuser-Busch versus...
Yeah,
that is interesting.
So what's the creative format you have to upload for that?
Don't know. It doesn't go into detail in this article. Right now, I don't actually believe it's dynamic. I think what they're doing is they are just filming the video with the space cut out, and then they're just manually selling. Like, hey, you want to buy this can placement? You want to buy this t-shirt placement? Whatever it is, you want to buy this poster in the background?
That's going to be really interesting for shows, like you're just saying with Yellowstone and stuff. Because originally I was thinking like, let's say we get Kylie Jenner to like drink in a commercial like she's drinking out of a can, let's say. Like, okay, well, how many times can that be used before people realize like, okay, well, like three companies are using the same clip of Kylie Jenner drinking out of a different can. But using that in like a show, like if you put that in like Bridgerton, oh, I guess Bridgerton's not a good example.
It's really anachronistic. They're like, pop a soda, like,
okay.
What is this witchcraft?
What are the other shows people are watching these days outside of Yellowstone?
Nobody knows.
Better Call Saul.
Better Call Saul. Yeah, that's a good one. Like, yeah, like putting something in that. Or Euphoria. Ooh, yeah. Euphoria would be a really good one to do that with. The Spam, yeah. That's still a great idea, I think.
I think what's going on here is this very subtle merger of all types of media. So you've been able to do this in video games for a long time. You could buy product space in video games because it's just like, this billboard on the side of the hockey rink is going to say one thing, but we run the update, it can now say another. Microsoft's been in that game for a while. Everything, every piece of media, and soon real life through AR is just becoming the way video games work. Everything is moving from being just atoms to atoms with pixels artificially put over it. And so when you do that, you can have any message portrayed that you want. It's, you know, the Minority Report scene where Tom Cruise is walking through the mall and these projections are coming out and they're all customized to him specifically.
Yeah.
That's where we're going with this. And assuming that AR gets deployed in some meaningful way, eventually your reality, when you look at a billboard around town, that billboard, if you take out your AR contacts, is going to be blank. But with your AR contacts in, Helen is going to see the advertisement for the new pink suit on sale at the pink suit store.
I was really excited to see what store Joe was going to pick out.
I don't even
Helen.
Know
where do women shop?
Women's Warehouse.
Oh, they don't have that.
Maybe they will when they can buy AR billboards.
Stop.
There used to be a women's dress barn.
So
really?
Yeah. I don't know if it still exists anymore.
Eventually your whole life is just going to be you're driving down and there's advertisements for the
pink suits everywhere.
Pink suits everywhere. Yeah. It's going to be you just Google pink suits and for an entire day, everything you look at has pink suits on it.
True. It's going to be a dream.
What if you take your contacts out?
Then you see nothing.
And then the government
you
comes
see blurry
for you. Like, hey, you have a
you see nothing.
Yeah.
Today.
It's going to be a VR shopping mall, and all the stores are curated to what
you're
interested in.
You guys, I don't know if it's still around. Have you ever been on the Terminator ride at Universal?
Girl, yeah.
I think it's like that. When you put on those glasses on the Terminator ride, everybody's like freaking out. Like the robot's head is coming out of you. But if you and I did this when I was like 8 and went there, if you take off those glasses and look around,
it's awesome.
You're like, it's all fake. Nothing here is real.
I had to take my glasses off on the Spider-Man ride the first time I ever went on that.
It made me so sick.
Well, it scared me when the electric guy like jumps on the car and like it shakes.
That's
and,
my favorite
like,
part. But did you know you never move more than 4 feet?
Alex, can you correct this?
Yeah,
who's the electric guy?
In who's what?
Spider-Man.
You know, like the Spider-Man ride.
Spider-Man. You said electric
Islands
guy.
Of Adventure.
I know you know the name.
Electro.
Maybe he like jumps onto like there and he like puts his like plug into the car and it like shakes and it feels like you're getting electrocuted.
His name is Alex Reinhardt.
I had to take him off because I was literally like, whoa, this is getting a little too fucking real.
Electro.
Oh, there it goes explicit. Sorry.
Electro. Confirmed.
Electro. That and then like that was a fun, that's one of their best rides still, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Agreed.
Not to derail this conversation, but those rides that they do at Universal that are a mix of like 4D is they always, I think, are the coolest. Like
they are the best.
The Harry Potter one. Oh my God, the Harry Potter one scared me the first time I was on it. When you like the Dementors come around to you and stuff. Oh, I had to close my eyes.
But
I was like a grown adult.
I think you're going to a place in our lifetime where that is real life.
Yeah.
Oh.
You know, hopefully people aren't just, you know, making monsters pop out at you, but they could be.
Mm-hmm. That'd be scary, but also like kind of cool.
Well, imagine this other piece of it, right? If everybody's on the same like AR technology platform or AR technology platforms that interconnect. Well, what that means is you probably will have something with you all the time that impacts how you are seen by them.
Yeah.
So you might be able to make it look like you're wearing whatever clothes you want to wear, or that you look like a furry Chewbacca at any given time.
Yeah.
So you'll get to literally pick how you look to the world around you, which actually raises an interesting question. Is do you have a right to be seen how you want to be seen in that world?
Ooh, that's philosophical.
I don't know the answer to that.
I don't think there is an answer to that.
Probably not going
to
answer that here. We talk about TikTok and Coke can ads.
Mm-hmm.
Kirsten, you put this. Our Slack channel has gotten, our Slack in general has gotten out of control around here. Everybody took on nicknames in their Slack channel. So whenever I'm in Slack looking for somebody now, I have no idea who anyone is.
Well, can you tell us what your name is currently?
please share with
Slack.
The class, Joe.
Charlton Moneybags the Fifth.
You're welcome.
And Alex, can you please share your name?
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
And Helen?
I'm just Helen.
And I'm just Kristen.
One sock.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
And then we have Jack Reed, who's just Jack Reed, and he looks really out of place by being normal. Snoozer. Tell me about this Q-verse.
So Qatar Airways has come up with their addition to the metaverse, which is where you can wear a VR headset and feel like you are on one of their first class like flights. And it does a whole simulation where the flight attendant introduce you and she takes your boarding pass and then you get on the plane and she asks you like what kind of seat you're looking for. You can go sit in economy, you can go sit in first class. And when you go first class, because she says like, oh, do you want the twin? Do you want a single seat? Do you want like a
quad?
The quad. But it's interesting and you can like look around and stuff like that. It's not totally realistic, but it is an interesting marketing strategy that airline is doing to, because we know some of these like airlines like Qatar Airlines is doing Qatar. I apologize to anybody if I'm saying this incorrect.
Qatar.
That it's like, you know, some of these airlines have these very immaculate flights that are just like
only the Middle Eastern ones.
Yeah, I was gonna say like what was it?
Emirates.
Emirates. Yeah. So it is an interesting way to share that with other people who are already pretty curious and think it's really cool. Somebody should do a Frontier flight. This is the lawn chair that is duct taped to the cabin. We're probably going to hit a lot of turbulence, so good luck, everybody.
I guess we're never going to get Frontier as a client.
We do not have oxygen on board. That's an upcharge.
it like a thing falls down and you have to put in a quarter to get the oxygen to come out.
And I love Frontier Airlines. Like, don't let me wrong. Like, y'all got me some places like that were a lot of fun. But it is pretty cool to kind of do experiences like that. So my question would be, what companies ought to be doing
well,
stuff like
this? What this makes me think is that in the future, airlines, when you sit on the plane, you're just going to put on a VR headset and they're going to feel like you're in whatever seat you want to feel like, even if you're in the back in steerage by the bathroom.
Oh, you'll feel that chair in front of you, though.
Yeah. But it won't look like it. You'll be in your happy place with your headset on. Flight attendants will love that. You'll have all these nearly comatose people in their headsets.
How are you going to get people to wear headsets on a plane when they don't want to wear a mask?
I think they're totally different things.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. The mask is reminding you of reality all the time.
True.
The VR headset is taking you away. It's escapism.
What if you wore your mask with your VR headset?
Damn.
Then well, would it make it a little easier or worse?
Well, I mean, then it would be like that, like Apple 1984 commercial when they introduced the Mac. Yeah, just imagine looking forward back into a plane where everybody's wearing a mask and a VR headset. Welcome to the future.
But what companies should be utilizing something like this to share their experience, share their product?
McDonald's.
But there's some cool McDonald's out there. Like,
do you want to sit in a booth or do you want to sit at a table?
There's some really big McDonald's that are really cool.
Hotels.
Like, hotels is a great one. Cruises.
Cruises are good. So you can look around your suite. All-inclusive resorts.
Yeah.
So you can get a view of what your suite would look like.
All-inclusive.
Do you think people would utilize this when trying to pick their vacation?
Oh, yes.
Girl, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Have you ever booked like a pretty high price resort vacation before?
No, I'm
okay. So the process of booking a very high price resort vacation is a lot of looking at pictures.
So I like to look at them. I just don't book them.
And then, so you find the pictures on their website and then you look at all 50 of those. And then you go to TripAdvisor and you look at all the pictures people posted. And then you're making your decision based on that a lot of times. And you're getting yourself hyped for it once you spent $10,000. So then you, if you have the VR headset, you just put in the VR headset and be like, oh, this room is nice. I really like that view.
Yeah. Cause it'd be cool if you could instead of see more pictures, you could say view in Meta or something like that.
Yeah. And in the dark and impoverished future, it's how we'll keep the people who don't have anything from uprising is because they can just wear the VR headset and feel like they're living that jet setter life. On the island resort.
You're definitely still going to feel it though.
The peasants aren't going to be able to fly. Have you looked at airline prices recently?
Yes, I actually
it's
have.
Bizarre.
It is unreal. Like, I know obviously during the pandemic, things were very different, but
I've been kicked into full on peasant mode. I can't.
Yeah. We went from
can't fly. I guess I'm booking the Greyhound ticket.
We went from a very quick period of, I will literally pay you to get on this flight just so we have enough people to, it's going to be about $1,000 for you to fly that flight. That usually was so $200.
Sad. Yeah. I was looking at it, I'm like, well. Guess I'll be sitting in my backyard sweating this summer.
And I would say
I'll be driving a lot.
Yeah. And I would like to be like, oh yeah, guys, let's bring back the road trips. You can't even afford gas.
Yeah.
It's all a mess.
We're just all gonna sit in the same room, pop on our we don't have to be in the same room. We'll all sit in our own storage container that's outfitted for us to live in our own little pod, and we'll put on our headsets and we'll metaverse in there with Meta Joe and Meta Kirsten and Meta Helen and Meta Alex, and we'll just be on vacation there.
Really excited for this, honestly. I would probably have a good time if we all partied in the metaverse.
It's similar to New Orleans.
Oh, don't even get me started.
What did you think about New Orleans? That was your first time there, right?
Yeah, I had a flipping blast. That culture is so outstanding. I'm a creative person, so I felt very energized when I was there because there was just so much art. There is so much it's just such a cool, spontaneous culture. I mean, I was drunk for most of it, but awesome city.
Here's what I appreciate about New Orleans. I don't think it actually spends a lot on promoting itself. I think the debauchery sells itself.
Oh, it does.
Because people come back from New Orleans, and I'm going to tell you, New Orleans was great. It's a really interesting marketing feedback loop that a city like that has.
Yeah, people come in, they're like, oh.
Can't spend any more than 3 days there.
And that's literally what I said. I mean, I could I could have stayed there. But like most people are like, it's like Vegas. Like you can't spend more than three days.
Let me ask you this. Why does like New Orleans. Why doesn't New Orleans work like that? Where people go there. You don't really have to market it that much. It has its own brand. And the brand is human excrement flowing down the street.
Period.
Versus like Biloxi. Like, why doesn't Biloxi sell itself?
Because
it's post trash.
Because why. New Orleans has a. It
That's
is
very
one of
elitist
the,
of you.
As somebody
it's
that
the
went
Las
to
Vegas
Ole Miss,
of the Gulf Coast.
I went to Ole Miss. First, and everyone that's not from the coast of Mississippi calls Biloxi coast trash. It is a common term.
Sorry, Biloxi viewers.
Sorry, Biloxi viewers. Sorry for Helen's elitism.
I think New Orleans has it on lock because it has a similar situation like St. Augustine, Florida has. It is an extraordinarily old city. It's one of the oldest cities in the country. And with that comes all the historical, you know, views, the buildings, the stories. And to be like honest, like New Orleans has it like that lock of like the mystery, like voodoo. Like it has a very superstitious element to it. So like it provokes that curiosity
it
out
feels,
of people.
I would describe it as being safely dangerous.
Yes.
It feels edgy and but it's not at well, it is kind of dangerous in some places.
Oh yeah.
But here's to Helen's point, by the way. About Biloxi versus New Orleans.
Yeah, save yourself here.
From what? I'm going to agree with you. No. Rich people like New Orleans. Working class people like Biloxi.
Yes.
And that is, I think, the difference is the brand of New Orleans is like Garden District.
Yeah.
Multi-million dollar houses.
That's where I was.
You know, versus Biloxi, like, you know, middle class Vegas.
Biloxi's fun, don't get me wrong. Yeah. It's just not New Orleans.
And to be honest, like if you're gonna compare Vegas and New Orleans, like Vegas is its own thing. Like it has its cool stuff, but again, it doesn't have this like really rich culture history that's like woven into it.
Could you decide you're going to found a New Orleans today? For any amount of money, could you just be like, I'm gonna make this New Orleans?
Like a new New Orleans or?
Well, like, you know, something that sells itself like that. Like at some point, Vegas was designed to be Vegas. I don't think New Orleans was designed to be New Orleans. It just became it.
And that's the thing. It's the same thing with Austin. Austin was not designed to be this artistic weird hub. It just sort of started to collect these people because I think the right companies are there, the right businesses, the right atmosphere. Mm-hmm. It starts to cultivate. It's like a fermentation.
And why are these places only in the South?
Because
why are like the New Orleans, Asheville's,
Charleston,
Savannah?
Because I think that there's a more with Southern personality. There's a little bit more of a like, have a good time. You're not here for a long time kind of sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Where up north, I say this as, and Alex is a fellow northerner over here with me, like in Delaware, that it's a different culture up there because everything is kind of like, go, 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 go. Like kind of sort of like, it's not so much like the lay back, like they still have fun up there. And correct me if I'm wrong, viewers or listeners, sorry, whatever we're doing here. like it's a different kind of, I don't know. Like, I feel like the South kind of like takes pride in its weirdness. Yeah.
I mean, Atlantic City is the Biloxi of the Mid-Atlantic.
Yes.
Right? Like, no one's super pumped. Like, people from all over the world aren't like, oh, one day I'm going to visit Atlantic City.
I forgot about New Jersey. Like,
Atlantic City is the Myrtle Beach of the
South. Myrtle Beach. Well, I would say the Jersey Shore is the Myrtle Beach of the
Hilton Head of the South.
Hilton Head of the Mid-Atlantic.
And that's something interesting is like why when New Jersey is very similar to like it's like the southern like state of the north, like with its crazy parties and like it's got the entertainment, it's got wild people, like
it's like vanilla crazy though.
It is, yeah.
True.
But what people just don't want to visit New Jersey probably because it's
New Jersey
dirty. I'm sorry, but no, so is New Orleans. So like,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's not like New Orleans is, I mean, look, as far as cities go, Charleston is like, Charleston is New Orleans, but designed by HGTV.
But clean.
Yeah. It was designed by HGTV. Yeah. It was like, Charleston was like, we're going to be like New Orleans, but like
classy.
HGTV version. Yeah. There's no beads being exchanged for anything in Charleston.
Yeah. The literal, like, appeal of just, like, it is party town, is always a good time in New Orleans, like, is really what, like, sells it. And I don't think that, like Vegas is, like, crazy, and Vegas has, like, money, and Vegas is kind of, like, it doesn't have that, like, authentic party culture embedded in it, I guess, is what I'm thinking.
Well, because Vegas isn't designed to be... Vegas is the opposite of authentic. Vegas is...
Vegas all is artificial.
Artificial. Yeah. Like, its claim is art. It's like, come here and be fake for 3 or 4 days.
Yeah. And a cool thing I kind of like about New Orleans is the whole city is, like, stubborn. The people can get stubborn, but the city itself is built stubbornly to exist in a place where it should not exist.
Yeah.
And that kind of weird resilience is, like, a big part of the culture. And it's really just, like, the people, I feel like, that make it, like, different from everything else.
Well, this kind of ties into a thing I think is true more there than anywhere else. Like, I feel like the colonial, like, Louisiana Purchase era, like, this is kind of a settlement on the fringe of a swamp that, you know, kind of exist on the edge of civilization, like, really never left.
No, and that place. It was built out from outcasts from Nova Scotia and stuff. Like, I mean, it was rejects, if you think about it. And it's continued the reject culture.
Because whenever I'm on Bourbon Street, what I think is, like, this must have been what life is like.
I don't want to think about the last time Joe was on Bourbon Street. I'm sorry.
It was like, I was like, this must have been what it was like in, like, 1890 here.
Yeah, well, like you said
just
to
like
me.
No rules. Like, as long as you aren't, like, straight up murdering somebody.
Yeah.
They're not going to stop you.
Well, that, I mean, you said that before I left. You were like, it's probably the closest thing to, like, Fort Worth in
1883.
Yeah, yeah. Like, with people just beating each other up in the street, throwing each other off balconies. Yeah. Like, everybody's drunk. People are walking around naked. Like, it's... And that's it. And the pride of it is, I don't know, man. We're all gonna go, because that was so much fun.
July 29th, 2022.
Find us there. We'll do a meetup.
We'll do a meetup. 3 people come.
A mobile podcast.
Meet us at Cat Meow.
Meet us at the carousel, please.
Mm-hmm. I will buy you a shot.
All right. Last story. Or do we have to finish, Alex?
We can keep doing.
All right.
Story.
Last one.
TikTok launches ad solution aimed to court advertisers while pleasing creators. TikTok introduced Brand Mission, an ad solution that enables brands and agencies to crowdsource authentic content from creators and turn highly engaging videos into ads. So basically what TikTok has created a brand thing for you to do is you kind of put out a request for content on their platform. Somebody makes that content. And then you can purchase it if you like it and promote it for your brand. Thoughts on using this?
It's less authentic.
Yeah.
Because before, they had just, advertisers had picked people who had already, like, been ambassadors for these products to, like, make ads.
Yeah. Which is a notoriously hard thing to do, by the way, is find an influencer, find a brand ambassador. It takes a lot of time.
I think it's going to be more fake now. And I'm not a fan of that.
Yeah. I mean, I have a lot of thoughts about, like, influencers.
You think, like, systematizing the way you crowdsource content like that is going to negatively impact the quality of the content or your enjoyment of the platform?
I'm so mixed on this stuff because
what they're doing is essentially native content, right? It's they're trying to make it not look like an ad.
And that's the thing is, like, we talk about TikTok getting really good with ads and stuff like that. And the point, like, I like when I see an ad for something I'm actually interested in, because I'll actually watch it and I'll actually click on it and stuff. So, like, if there's more of that, I don't really have a problem with it. It's when I get, like, the weird ass ads that are like, I don't know, like, do you want to buy this for your boat? I'm like, I don't have a boat. Like, I mean, I wish, but, like,
yet.
I don't know. What do you think, Helen? You got thoughts? She's got none.
She's distracted by some text message that's
coming
through.
Yeah, Jared is kind of sick.
Jared's sick.
From our lunch.
Malia.
Rip, Jared. I think I would use that for a client, for sure.
Yeah.
Look, as an agency, it's kind of a cheat code, right? Because you don't have to do the work of making the creative.
Yeah.
You just put out like, hey, here's what we're looking for. 10 people send you back stuff. You're like, oh, we like that one. We're going to run that as the ad.
I would
love that. You take credit for it with the client. No problem.
That would be so easy. And I know like I've been like recently like, oh my gosh, like finding talent, like working with talent is so hard. But to have people just like actively be like, I will do this for you and take care of it is a huge load relieved off me.
Yeah.
So I'm down for
It's fairly clever, I think.
Yeah. Hmm. No qualms with that.
Fairly clever.
As long as clients don't find out about it.
Well, why would a client have a problem with that?
Don't worry about it, client.
Don't worry about it, client. We didn't make this. Some 17-year-old in Canada made this. It's fine.
If we facilitate that relationship.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it makes a difference.
Yeah, as long as a person's not like a murderer or like a drug addict or something crazy, like, I mean, we could still vet the people.
Yeah. Why would you?
Like.
That murderer drug addict might be really good at selling.
Right. I mean, like, you're doing the due work of finding that person and making that connection and setting them up. So that's work.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think there's an actual issue there. No more issue than there's going to be in a few years when the AI just starts making all the creative.
And that's when I lose my job.
That's when we all lose our jobs. But we'll get our UBI. We'll live in our converted shipping storage containers. Box. And we'll just have our VR headset. And we'll go on fake VR vacations to
Mine
New Orleans.
Mine will be in New Orleans. Yeah, I'll say my whole thing's going to be set up to be Mardi Gras every day of the year.
All right. Mardi Gras every day of the year, I think, is the episode title for this, and we'll leave it there. All right, everyone, thank you for listening. If you like the show, leave us a review. If you didn't, politely just exit your app and don't leave a negative review. We will. Helen always like squirms when I say that. I don't know why.
It's so weird.
It's a good suggestion. Actively encouraging people not to leave a negative review. I don't see what's wrong.
We apologize to everybody from Biloxi.
After this, we're going to record an apology for Helen. Like, hi, Helen here. I'm very sorry. I did not mean to insult the fine people of Biloxi. They're all very nice people.
It's titled, I'm sorry, all lowercase. And then in parentheses, emotional.
I'm sorry to all you Biloxi residents.
Biloxians.
I'm sure some of you are very nice people.
I just can't see that.
I haven't met one yet, but I'm sure they exist.
I just can't do it.
Okay. Thank you, everybody. We will talk to you next week on the next episode of Record. Of Record is hosted by me, Joe Clements, with the assistance of producer Alex Reinhard. Of Record is produced at the Trailway Studio in Tallahassee, Florida. This episode was edited by producer Alex Reinhard. Our theme music is composed and performed by Rob Goki. Special thanks to our entire team here at SDS. You can see more information about the show on our website, podcastofrecord.com. As always, we'd appreciate your reviews and ratings in your podcast app of choice. These ratings and reviews help more people discover the show, which helps us keep delivering quality content each week. Thanks for listening.